John chapter number 10, the Gospel of John chapter number 10. We'll begin reading verse number 22. John chapter number 10 and verse number 22. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, the Gospel of John chapter 10. And we will begin at verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the preaching of your word today, Lord, as we fix our heart upon a single solitary item. And Lord, we're going to lift it up as an example of something to be thankful for. And then, Lord, as we go into the week, I pray, dear God, that you would help each of us to find additional things, many other things, to express gratitude to you for. Lord, may we truly go into this week with a thankful spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the things I've done for, I guess, decades is every Thanksgiving I try to ask the Lord to help me to think of something that I've never thanked him for. What do you mean by that? I mean something that I've taken for granted. You know, something I've never paused and prayed appreciation about. And last Wednesday night, the Lord gave it to me. I enjoy the song service. I've always enjoyed the song service. I can say that I think just early on in my Christian life, the Lord just taught me not to waste our song service. And I love it. I love the special music. I love the choir. I love to pick up the hymnal. I love to sing the phrases. I love that we still sing the old-time gospel hymns and gospel songs, you know. And last Wednesday night was a blessing. The last two songs that we sang congregationally was Till the Storm Passes Over. And then the last one, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And Great is Thy Faithfulness is my favorite song. And everybody probably has their own favorite song. If I was to hand you a hymnal and said, turn to your favorite song that's in the hymnal, probably everybody would be able to pick one. Not that we don't love them all, but pick one that say, preacher, I don't know why, but God just knit my heart to this particular song. I'm not going to talk about that one. I'm going to talk about the one that came before that. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place mid the crash of the thunder. Precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And, you know, songs resonate to you depending on where you're at. I anticipated a good report on Thursday, but nobody knows. But when we sing the chorus, I got a little weepy up here. Now, I think I covered it up pretty good. I'm going to try to do that this morning. Maybe not to as much success. But I love that chorus. We were singing it, till the storm passes by over, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. And then this is the phrase that got me. Hold me fast. Let me stand, where? In the hollow of thy hand. And I don't know why, but that thing just struck me. That I'm in the hollow of God's hand. Woo! He doesn't just put me anywhere. Now listen, I've felt the backside of his hand a few times in my life. I liked holding my dad's hand, but that's not the only way my daddy used his hand on me as I was growing up, all right? But during the storms, where does he put you? And I thought, Lord, I've never thanked you for your hand. Woo! I thought, well, maybe I ought to start by thanking the Lord for my hand. I never thanked the Lord for my hands. Remember Brother Dan Wolf that we went to college with? Works down at Faith Music Missions, you know, and from the time he was in Bible college, you know, he was the pirate. He was the guy who walked around with the hook, you know, and he only has one hand. Well, you know what? We don't think about it until it's you. There's people that were born without hands. There's people that lost their hands in accidents, that are living their life without hands. Can you imagine trying to function? Some of you have broken an arm, or for some period of time in your life, you were reduced to only one hand. And remember how difficult it was just doing the simple tasks of life. And so I got to looking at my hands and said, Lord, I want to thank you for my hands. Let me give you some interesting facts about our hands. Boy, the Lord, he's a wondrous creator. 27 bones, 29 joints, and at least 123 named ligaments in the human hand. What sets our hands apart from the animals is our opposable thumb. What that means is our thumb and our fingers can work together. We can work our thumb and our fingers together. God gave us that uniquely to us. You cannot get a tan on your palm and the underside of your fingers. You can go to the tanning salon all you want. You're not going to tan these things, all right? Some of these women are going to try it now. They're going to lay in their palms up next time. So, fingerprints are completely, uniquely DNA imprint that is different in every single human being. No two human beings in the world have similar fingerprints. There are hundreds of words that include the word hand. Of course they do, because our hands are so vital into everything we do. Handy, handwriting, handiwork, handle, handbag, handsome, handball, etc. The average length for adult women, the average hand length for adult women is 6.7 inches. The average length for men is 7.4. Fingers don't have muscles. Tendons in our fingers are moved by the muscles of our forearm. The muscles which control our fingers are so powerful that some people can support their entire body weight on just a few fingertips when climbing. You think about how wondrous that is. Now, here's something you got to check right now, okay? All right. Men tend to have longer ring fingers than index fingers. Okay, men, is your ring finger longer than your index finger? And girls tend to have longer index fingers than ring fingers. And me and my wife compared and checked that out, and at least in our family, we're normal, okay? All right, so. This was an interesting fact. Hand surgeons say that the index finger is the best one to lose if you had a choice. The index finger is needed the least, which kind of surprised me. So if you're going to chop off a finger, that's the one you want to do right there. Nine individual muscles control the thumb. Three major hand nerves control the thumb muscles. Matter of fact, Sir Isaac Newton said, in the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. I don't know how anybody studies the human body, something like the thumb or the eye, and then decide that evolution is even plausible. Folks, it would make more sense for there to be an explosion in a junkyard, and when the dust settled, there's a brand new Rolls Royce sitting there completely assembled, than it would for evolution to have happened. Okay. All right, your fingernails show your state of health. They can indicate problems such as mineral or vitamin deficiency, liver trouble, thyroid. And whether you're anemic, some warning signs of deficiency show up on your nails. May be that they are brittle, pale, or spotted. The color of the nails and those small moons on each nail can identify the quality of oxygen level in the bloodstream and blood circulation. Our fingers are even more sensitive than our eyes. The fingertips have a large number of receptors responsible for sending messages to the brain. One quarter of the brain's motor cortex, one quarter of it, which is the area that controls all movement, one quarter of it is dedicated to the movement of the hand muscles. Your hands are important. The vein, here's a cool one, the vein on your ring finger is called the vena amoris. It has a direct line with the human heart that is known as the vein of love. That is why we wear an engagement ring on our left hand's ring finger. So right there, that's right. You want to get to your wife's heart, just squeeze her ring finger. There you go. This was interesting and kind of weird. Structurally, fingernails are actually modified hairs. I didn't know that. When you're clipping your nails, you're actually getting a haircut. So, so weird. Takes up to 6 months for a fingernail to grow from the root to the tip. Julius Caesar ordered the thumbs of captured prisoners to be cut off. I think he learned that from the Old Testament. But you know why they did that? Because you know what? He wouldn't have to worry about them ever throwing a sword or throwing a spear against his armies. So many things about the human hand. We're blessed, aren't we? That God just gave us what he gave us. 6% of all men and 9.9% of all women are left-handed. 6% of all men, 9.9% of all women are left-handed. So I spent some time just studying the human hand, researching, Googling it, and then praising the Lord that we are wonderfully made. We are marvelously and wonderfully made. I even found some quotes about the thumb. Herbert Humphrey, our former president, the impersonal hand of government can never replace the helping hand of a neighbor. Let's sink that. Let that sink in for Christmas. And by the way, we're in the Thanksgiving week. Could we look around at our own church family and just make sure nobody sits alone? Nobody sits at home alone. All right. Let's just make sure that we put out a helping hand where we can and be a blessing where we can. One man said this, Frederick Crane, to make a man happy, fill his hand with work. You say, well, that don't make me happy. Well, then that means you're not a man. Doesn't say a boy, it says a man. Alexander Penny said the ultimate test of a relationship is the ability to disagree while holding hands. Amen. Husband and wife, that's pretty good advice. But this was my favorite, and this will launch into the message. There's an Irish blessing. And I wanted to read this with an Irish accent, and I practiced and practiced. I cannot pull off an Irish accent. Who's got a really good Irish accent? Legit, good Irish. Anybody that's brave enough to come up here and use it in front of everybody to read this Irish blessing. Come on, Brother Brian, can you do Irish? Can you do an Irish accent? You can't do an Irish accent? I'll bet he could. Welsh? That's close enough. Come up here. I don't know the difference between a Welsh and an Irish. What? All right. Because it's going to sound so much better if it's got an Irish accent to it. So we're kind of an Irish-Welsh accent. You've got to look it over for a minute, okay, and make sure you're in front of the... Right here. There you go. This is an Irish blessing.
May the road...
Yes, okay. Okay. I'm glad I let him practice this. Do you want to go in the back and practice?
No.
Okay.
May the road rise to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. Maybe I'm a Viking. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good, I gotta say. It's almost like the farther he read into it, the more Irish he became, you know. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, and this will be our prayer for everyone, our prayer for each other, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. And we read there in John chapter number 10 that we hold a special and unique place when it comes to our relationship with God. And there's so many parts of the Bible we could go to and explore all the different relationships and all the different ways that God looks at us. And he sees us as his sheep. And he makes a difference, a biblical difference between goats and sheep. And folks, listen, it boils down to something very simple. Before you're saved, you're a goat. Once you get born again, you become one of his sheep. And he said, if you're my sheep, you hear my voice. But then he goes on and talks about the relationship that we have when it comes to the hands of Jesus and the hands of God. In verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, when you're holding someone, where do you place them? You place them in the hollow of your hand. If I was going to say to one of you young men, I'm going to give you a silver dollar and I want you to put it in your hand and then I'm going to try to get it, I doubt if you'd lay it on the back of your hand. Because it wouldn't be very hard for me to just bump you and probably get it to fall to the ground. I doubt if you'd probably put it between two of your fingers and think that you were going to keep it from me. If you really wanted to keep somebody from taking that, you know what you do? You'd put them right in what we call the hollow of your hand, and then you'd close your hand over. And what Jesus said, you cannot pluck my sheep from my hand. He was talking about being in the hollow of his hand. You know, the Bible speaks about the hollow of the hand, of God's hand, only once. I'm going to have you go look at it. It's a fascinating portion of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40 in the Old Testament, if you'll turn there. Isaiah chapter 40, in this portion of Scripture, the hollow of God's hand is not spoken of as a place for us to reside, but it is mentioned in relationship to God's omnipotence, Him being the Almighty God. In Isaiah chapter 40, if you look in verse 12, it says this, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of God, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment? Who taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. The Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity." Notice verse 18. "To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him?" And as they're expounding, the Scripture is expounding upon the power and the might of Almighty God. And there's no way we can measure Him. One of the things it says in verse 12, "Who hath measured the waters?" He's talking about all the waters, all of the oceans, everything the earth contains. He said He can hold it in the hollow of His hand. And so the hollow of His hand is mentioned in relationship to His power. Folks, listen to me. Isn't it exciting that the same God that has that kind of power chooses to place me and you right in the hollow of His hand? I'm going to just publicly spend some time doing what I did privately and talk to you about the joy of being in the hollow of His hand. The joy of being in the hollow of His hand. Number one, it's a place of security. That's what I read. That's what I think of when I see John chapter 10. Hey, you know what? If I'm in Jesus' hand and then His hand's in God's hand, you know what? I ought to be able to just face every day knowing that everything's going to be okay. It's a place of security. I'm so glad that my eternal security is not dependent upon me holding on to God, but it's solely dependent on the fact that God is holding on to me. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause also suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." And folks, listen to me. We couldn't save ourselves, and guess what? We can't keep ourselves saved. My eternal security is not dependent upon Jerry Ross, and praise the Lord, it's not. And I guess I want to stop again and just do what I did before the offering and maybe just say to each and every one of you, please answer this question in your own heart. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Because you know what? If not, we're talking about being a goat, not being a sheep. We're not talking about being in the hollow of God's hand. We're not talking about being a child of God. You know what? All that comes as a result of receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I want to invite each and every one of you, if you're not saved, let's get saved today. Let's get it taken care of today. Are you saved? It's a place of security. I also want you to turn now, if you will, to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18, it's also a place of tenderness. Psalms chapter number 18, if you look in verse number 34 and 35, Psalms 18, 34 and 35, I wanted you to see these verses in particular. It's a place of tenderness. As I was studying the palm and the uniqueness of our palm, you know, one of the things that I learned was, of all the places in your hand, the most tender place is the hollow of your hand. And if you, even some of you men that work manual labor and you've built up calluses and, you know, that's the type of job you have. You know what? If you'll check your hand, you know what you'll find? There's calluses here. There's calluses built up here. Calluses on your finger, calluses on your thumb. But isn't it interesting that God has created your hand in such a way so that that area is hollowed out and remains the most tender part of your hand? Aren't you glad that God, when he put you in the hollow of his hand, put you in the place of his most tender care? Think about that. Look at Psalms 18, verse 34. And let's see where he starts here. I love the contrast between verse 34 and 35. Here the psalmist is writing, David's writing, "He teacheth my hands to war." And you know, men, when we think about our hands, a lot of times, you know, we think about masculinity. We think about, I'm going to mention in a minute, Proverbs 20, 29, "The glory of young man is their strength. The beauty of young man, of old men, is the gray head. But the glory of young man is their strength. He teacheth my hands to war." And by the way, you know what, men? We ought to be willing and able to protect. We ought to be willing to go to war if necessary. We ought to have our wives and families protected and feeling safe and secure. You know what? Listen, they can call it toxic masculinity if they want to, but America needs an old-fashioned dose of toxic masculinity. Okay, the feminization of the male species is not helping our country, all right? So he teaches my hands to war. Notice this. "So that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation." But wait a minute. He says this, "And thy right hand hath holden me up." Notice this. "And thy gentleness hath made me great." You know, when God holds you in the hollow of his hand, he holds you in the tenderest part of his hand. We see in these verses a great contrast between when it comes to the design of our hands. I mean, our hands can be used if necessary to protect, to exert violence, to pick up the sword and to hurl the spear. However, the psalmist does not attribute greatness to acts of war, to the use of the bow or the wielding of the shield. He looks at God's hands and proclaims, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." I guess something I wanted to say to all of the young men, some of them that are growing up here, some of you young men starting families, the glory of a young man is their strength. But let me say this, the greatness of a young man is his gentleness. I want to say that again. The glory of a young man is their strength, but the greatness of young men is their gentleness. Let's not forget the term gentleman. Gentleman. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but in the book that I wrote on biblical masculinity, there is an entire chapter on chivalry. And I think that that needs to be read and reread by the generation coming up. Let's never forget that although God created men as the stronger vessel, that vessel should always contain a good measure of gentleness. You know, God is a mighty God. And his right arm has strength. And we can reach and read in the Bible the times that he's reached out his hand and horrific things have happened. But aren't you glad that there is a tender spot in God's hand? Hey, gentlemen, there needs to be that tender spot in our lives also. Listen to what I'm going to say. Some of you young men need to hear this. No matter how strong a man is, his greatness should always be measured by how he treats children, how he treats women, and how he treats the elderly. You better remember that. Too many young men get to that point where they start getting some strength, and you know what they do? They look for weakness and then bully that weakness. You're not a man, you're a little boy. Because a real man, when he attains strength, looks for weakness and uses that strength to protect those that are weak, not take advantage of those that are weak. You go talk to any public school teacher or principal, and you know what they'll tell you is one of the biggest problems? Come on, any public school bus driver will tell you this. The biggest problems that they have to face almost every day is bullying. Young people mistreating each other, somebody, because they're a little bigger, a little stronger, taking advantage of somebody. Listen, that should never exist in the Christian realm. And so I'm thankful that God is a powerful God. And folks, you know what? He can speak and destroy armies. He can lift up his hand against a nation, and you know that nation will crumble. But that same hand that holds all that power has a tender spot. And you know what he does? He places us right in the most tender part of his hand. I went to preach in Texas earlier this year and flew down to preach a Monday through Wednesday revival. And I got settled Monday, plane landed there in Dallas, and the guy came and picked me up and got me to the church. And then I had most of the afternoon to catch up on some things, and I was running a little late getting over to church, and probably about half the people were already there. And so when I walked in the door, there was a lot of folks there in the foyer, and they'd heard this preacher's coming. I'd never preached there before, didn't know the pastor, didn't know any of the people, didn't know any of them. And before I could greet anybody, this little girl, about 4 years old, comes up to me, and she's got this, I mean, she's all curls and dimples and smiles. And she walks right up to me, and she says, "Are you Brother Ross?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she says, "I want to show you our church." And before I could do anything, she reached out and grabbed my little finger and took me off. And I said, "Wait a minute." And I said, "Where's your mama?" "That's my mommy." I said, "Is this okay?" "Yeah, she, yeah, well, I guess." And the next 10 minutes, we went through the auditorium. She told me where the preacher stands. She told me where I'm going to need to sit. She told me where she sat and where her family sat. And then we went back, and she showed me where the track rack was. And she showed me then every Sunday school room. And this is where when we eat, we have fellowships. This is the nursery. And she, for 10 minutes, I'm just, wherever this little girl took me, I just followed along and listened to the entire tour. And so, you know what? And when we got back to where Mom was, I thanked her, and the people were just, they thought it was hilarious, you know. And the Lord met with us that night. One of the meetings that I've got to say that we've had, that I've had probably in the last couple of years, where I left there feeling like the Lord sent a true sense of revival. And Thursday morning when the preacher was taking me back to the airport, he said, Brother Ross, he said, some of the folks were a little hesitant about you coming. You know, I love it when preachers just take a really good week and have to run it at the end, you know. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, you've got somewhat of a reputation of being a, you know, a strong preacher and a hard preacher. And he said, I'd only heard you online, but I knew the Lord wanted me to bring you in. And I said, and by the way, I preached some strong messages. Hey, you're not going to see revival, folks, by getting up and playing patty cake, okay? You're not going to see it. And anyway, I said, well, I hope it wasn't a disappointment. Oh, no, no. He said, obviously, God's hand worked. He said, the ones that were so worried, let me tell you, when their hearts turned. When little Darby walked up to you and said, let me show you my church. Instead of brushing a little child aside, instead of saying, honey, maybe some other time, you just got mama's permission and took a tour. Now, men, listen to me. You can be strong when you need to be strong. But that's not where greatness lies. The glory of a young man is his strength. But David said, thy gentleness has made me great. Never, never, I don't care how you stand or what you've got to stand for, never stop being a gentleman. Never stop being a gentleman. It's a place of security. It's a place of tenderness. It's a place of blessing. I'll read this verse to you. Psalm 80. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Thinking about the place of blessing and the uniqueness of the hollow of the hand. And I thought to myself, you know what? Think about this. The hollow of the hand is a place of blessing. It's a miniature reservoir. The only place on the hand that can hold an overflow. And I thought, well, I'm going to test that. So make sure. What'd you do with that, brother? Oh, I see it. Okay, good. Here it is. And I thought, you know, if you were going to, you know, you were going to try to drink out of your hand, I doubt again that you would probably use the back of your hand to try to, I'm going to try to curve it as much as possible and keep a little water in here. And that's not going to work. So I don't think you're going to hold it in your fingertips. But you know what you can do to hold a little reservoir? You can put it right there. You can put it right there, and you know what? It'll hold the blessings. And I got to thinking, you know what? The Lord, the one thing I didn't get was a towel. The Lord, that's all right. That's all right. I'll just preach with wet hands. We used to rub our hands to get them dry. You know, have you ever done that? Just the heat of the friction of it. Well, you're going to stand and watch me do it for a minute, or sit and watch me do it for a minute. All right. Remember all the ways we used to dry our hands? Remember those, they came up with the air things, but way back when they had the towels? Yeah, I mean the cloth ones where it went ta-doom, ta-doom. I'm going to tell you something. If COVID had been around then, everybody would have died, you know? That's why our generation's so tough. We didn't believe in hiding in our houses. We shared everything anyway. When God goes like this and puts you there and he pours blessings, you know what? There's a place where the blessings can accumulate. Nothing sweeter and better than being in the hollow of God's hand. Like I said, it's a miniature reservoir. It can hold the overflow of God's blessings. Hey, I'm going to give you a quick challenge. We'll move to the next point. But this week during Thanksgiving, share with your family the blessings of God. Share with your family. Your children, come on, need to hear the different ways that God's blessed you. You know, I wish we had a service long enough Wednesday night where we could have 100 people have a chance to stand up. But folks, listen to me. Just because I'm going to have 10 men come up and say, let me tell you what I thank the Lord for, every single one of us, if called upon, ought to be willing and ready to do the same. You know why? Because it ought to be also always in the forefront of our thinking. It ought to be at the very edge of our heart and on the tip of our lips to want to just say, let me share how good God's been to me. Joshua, God instructed him to do something when he brought them miraculously over through the Jordan River. When they got to the other side, they picked up 12 stones. Took them out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth may know, watch this, the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye may fear the Lord forever and ever. And he said, these stones are reminders of the mighty hand of God and how he delivered you and the blessing he was to you. You know, I don't know. You do whatever the Lord tells you to do. But I got to thinking about those 12 stones, and I thought, you know what I want to do? I want to just go back through my life, and I just want to take the 12 most miraculous things that God did for me and my wife and my family. And I want to make sure I write those down, and I want to make sure that eventually my children and my grandchildren have 12 stones that they can look at. 12 stones that Papa carried out of the middle of the Jordan River and set up forever as a memorial so that they can know how good and how great God is. In our anniversary celebration, and you know, if I'm able to be here tonight, and I'm anticipating being here tonight, I'm a little weaker. I think the chemo's cumulative, you know, so I'm pushing a little harder. I'm a little more careful because of being weakened. And then we've got sickness kind of going through the church. And so I'm actually going to probably slip out during closing prayer and just be a little more protective. And anyway, I anticipate being here tonight. If I'm able to, I'm going to pass out the church calendar. Brother Joe, be ready to preach in case I can't. You'll understand, folks, if I just feel like I ought not. We'll do it in a couple weeks when I can, okay. But I want to pass out the church calendar. It'll have the church anniversary theme for the year on it. And we usually do some of this in our vision night in January. But there's so much to get ready for the 50th anniversary. And I'm already behind. I'm going to pass out that. I'm going to pass out also a little form that I want you to fill out. I want to get some information from different ones of you. I want to find out who served in what ministries for how many years. And then I also went to the bottom, just want, if you got any ideas for the 50th anniversary, I'm not going to think of everything. I can't think of everything. There's probably some really good ideas, and And, you know, the only thing I beg you is I might get 100 ideas and can't use 100 ideas, might not be able to afford 100 ideas. So, you know, don't send something in and then be mad at me if we choose not to do it. I'd rather you not turn it in than do that, you know. Let's not be that fragile, okay? But I, at the same time, would love to get some ideas accumulated, some things that we could do, anything to make this year. But, you know, I said all that to say, listen, you know what I want to do? Every month I want to turn into a stone of memorial. We're going to have 12 stones. Every month's going to have a theme where we just take a look back and say, look what God did. Look at how God has worked. And I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited about the things we have planned. I'm so excited about collecting some ideas that will hopefully give us other things to do, or maybe some of the things we are doing make them better. I don't know. But you be thinking about that and praying about that. But you know what? What's this all about, preacher? What's the anniversary year? Why stop and celebrate the 50th anniversary so that these young people can understand that there's some things that God did before they ever were here that they need to know about and they need to be thankful for? Let me give you this next one. It's a place of usefulness. The hollow of God's hands is a place of usefulness. 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, this is said of Elijah, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Think about that. God reached down, put him in the hollow of your hand. You know what else you put in the hollow of your hand? Whatever, come on, gentlemen, ladies, whatever tool you're going to pick up to use goes into the hollow of your hand. It was said of Elijah, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. It was said of Ezra. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 6, this Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Twice it said of Ezra in chapter 7, verse 28. Also it says of Ezra that the hand, he said this, And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. You know what? I've never studied Ezekiel in this area. I had no idea, Brother Joe, that of all the men in the Bible where it says the hand of the Lord was upon him, Ezekiel's mentioned the most times. God's number, 7 times it said that the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. And I thought to myself, I need to study more about that character. I've ignored him way too much. You know, why is that important, preacher? Because whatever it takes, and whatever I need to be so that I can be one that God reaches down and puts his hand upon. Come on, young men. Don't let anything come into your life that would prevent you from God choosing to use you. No sin. Come on. No secret sin is worth not being used of the Lord. You know, when I'm teaching, and I'm going to do this one of these days, Lord willing. But when I'm teaching through the series on knife making and when I get to the very end, the very last lesson, when we're putting on the handle of the knife, and I've had guys come over and taught them, helped them make their first knife, and, you know, I'll walk them through the steps, and I'll even take it out of their hands sometimes and say, I'm not going to let you mess this up, and I'll fix some things for them. But when it gets down to the handle, we start shaping the handle. I'll get it rough shaped, and I'll hand it to them and say, you've got to use this sanding belt, and you've got to do the rest of it. Well, how will I know when it's right? You sand on it a while, I'll show you how, and then you know what you do? You put it in your hand. That don't fit quite right. I'm going to sand some more. You're going to put it in your hand. I'm going to sand off some more. I'm going to put it in my hand. And you know what? You're going to get it to that point where all of a sudden it fits perfectly your hand. That's why every man's got to do that part of it. It's his knife. If he wants it to fit his hand, he's got to be the one. You know what? I just want God to keep taking me to the grinder. Come on. Take me to the belt sander, whatever has to go, whatever needs to be. Well, it isn't sin. Well, if it may not be, but if it keeps me from fitting in God's hand, then go ahead and take it off, Lord. Go ahead and get rid of it. I had one of my son-in-laws help me with a project, and I needed a hammer. And he went and got me a hammer, and I've got hammers everywhere in the shop, you know. And he came in, and he looked around in the shop, and I said, I told him where it was, and the one I wanted, and he came back with the wrong one. And I said, I don't want that hammer. I said, go get the other one. Well, why not just go get the other one? You know, son-in-laws are a problem. They are, you know. They don't listen very well. Just, no, the one hanging on 2 nails right by the window, right behind my belt sander. So he goes and gets that hammer. And it's a nasty-looking thing. It's beat up. It's old. And it's a hammer. I worked two summers when I was in high school. I worked two summers on a framing crew. And, man, I'm going to tell you something. None of this, you know, high air stuff, you know, da-doom, da-doom, da-doom. There was none of that stuff going on. Every nail that we drove the old-fashioned way. And you worked two summers on a framing crew, and you've driven thousands of nails. I'm going to tell you something. You watch these guys that have done it like that. I mean, three hits on a 16-penny nail. One to set it, one to drive it most of the way, and the other one to plant it, and they're pulling the next one out. It's really amazing to watch. And he came outside, and he said, this one. I said, yeah, give me it. And so I got done when I got done, and he looked at me, and he's looking at this. He takes the hammer back, and he said, why would you use this one? He said, you've got nicer ones in there. You've got newer ones in there. You've got shinier ones. You've got fancier ones. And, you know, I really didn't even think about it. All I know is when I had a job to do, I wanted my hammer. And I remember sitting there looking at that hammer and thinking, and I said finally to my son-in-law, I said, well, I don't know. I guess it don't make sense. But when I pick it up, it just fits good in my hand. And I just hope God just keeps looking down and seeing Jerry Ross and saying, I know there's fancier ones. I know there's newer ones. I know there's ones that are more specialty hammers. But why don't you just give me him? And the angels say, why do you keep using that old hammer? Well, he just fits good in my hand. Amen. He just fits good in my hand. I hope that would be the prayer of every single person in here. Whatever God needs to take away from you, whatever he needs to take off of you, whatever he needs to grind away to make you fit in his hand, it's worth it. It's worth it. If it's an 18-week course on cancer and chemo, that's 18 weeks if we get this thing beat, if we go through six rotations. I think going through an 18-week course to make you better. What have I got to complain about? If it makes me better for the Lord, makes me fit in his hand a little bit better. Amen. Send it, Lord. Send whatever you need to send. So that when there's a job to do and you're looking for a tool, I fit in your hand. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for helping the preacher. Thank you for the hollow of your hand. Lord, I'm thankful for all of your hand. I'm thankful for when I read in the Bible about the finger of God. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, dear God, when I read about the strength and might of your hand. But thank you, Lord, for that tender place. Thank you, dear God, that it is your gentleness that makes us great. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me and showing me something that I've taken for granted that I now can thank you for. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's never received you as personal Savior, I pray, dear God, that today they would be saved. I pray for Christians, dear Lord, that just needed to be reminded that they're in the hand of Jesus, and God's got his hand over Jesus' hand, and he's not got them balanced on the back of their hand or clinging on between two fingertips. But Lord, he's placed us in the safest, most tender, most useful place. I pray, Lord, that you'll take good care of our church family this week and in the weeks ahead. Keep them, Lord, please. In the hollow of thy hand, Lord, I pray for our little children. I've watched the way you've uniquely protected some of our children this year. Thank you that the children are in the hollow of your hand. Lord, help us to have a grateful spirit. Lord, when it comes to this, we pray in Jesus' name.